15. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written on this book, in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through his belief, this belief, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Ha ha! Now I know who's going to be watching the Masters. It's the ones who came to this Mass. We have a good one, right? Rory had a 6-shot lead 2 days ago. But anything can happen today. Stay tuned. Dear friends, these readings every year are, to me, the most beautiful because it's really the seal of our faith, the joy. First words from Pope Leo as he came out in the balcony was to talk about the resurrected Christ, the good news. You know, I hate to find Christians or Catholics who just spend time dwelling on all the troubles and the wars and the difficulties and the sin. And yes, we have to talk about that because in reality, the shape of life, of existence, is kind of like in the Eastern tradition, the yin and the yang, right? Christ said, "I come to destroy the work of the evil one." And it's really kind of like bad and good in life. Ignatius would say, do I walk with my back against the Lord or my face towards the Lord? So it is kind of like a black and white life. But, as Catholics, the last word is always joy, especially in this season. That's why we have 50 of these and 40 of Lent to lean on, to emphasize that joy is our mark. And when we go back on this reading, I think that what is happening to the apostles through a little story is what happens in the inner depths of our heart. Often, I would say daily. What happens to them? Well, when we don't pray, when we pay too much attention to the world, what happens to us is exactly like the apostles. They were hidden, closed in on themselves. They were afraid. Now, in this case, it was because of the Romans or the Jews. Well, they were Jews themselves. But in the inner depths of our heart, it's the fear of, and you put your name, what is it that you are fearing? I was talking to a man yesterday who is on the verge of retiring, and he said, "I have a lot of fears. What's this transition from all this many years in a renowned firm and now moving into," but you put your situation in there. And it says that the moment that the Lord came into the room, they were filled with joy. Filled with joy. That's what the Lord wants to do. Not every Sunday only, but every day. Because human situations will plant what the devil wants to plant in us and the world, I'd say. Doubt, fear, you won't find those among the gifts of the Holy Spirit at all or the fruits. I love when priests preach about the tactic of the devil of discouragement. I'm no good. This is not going to change. The typical thing of the state of desolation. When we see clouds all like, yeah, like February in New York, which luckily we're out of that. These days have been beautiful. But the Lord says, no, no, that's not our game. That's not the game I came to play. That's not the rules of my game. My game is trust. It's faith. It's confidence and joy. Again, this yin and yang. Somebody might be saying, this priest, not too Catholic. You get my idea. I'm just using the world's language to convey the gospel. The world will say, hey, look at all the problems. Jesus says, and with those problems, you know what? I am with you. And I deeply love you. I'm not going to take the problems away. But problems with Christ and problems without Christ is like the difference between heaven and hell. That's it. Because on earth, we just cannot get rid of problems. They're going to be there until the last minute. Death and taxes, right? They're all going to be there. Christ came, and while the world was preaching sin, drown in it, come, it's more fun, don't be a geek, don't go to church, etc., Jesus says, no, that's not my game. My game is mercy. And we are celebrating that today. I woke up this morning and I went to confession. And my brother priest said, the Lord takes all your sins and he wants you to drown in him so that he will just cover up all your waste, your junk. And that's what the Lord wants to do today. Now, just in case somebody just came into the church or doesn't know about this feast, so this feast was instituted by JP2 as a Polish man, very, very close to the heart of St. Sor Faustina. And he said he knew that a world was going to come in which sin was going to be very prevalent. But Paul says, where there is sin, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. So we don't have to worry if our world is today more sinful than 100 years ago because, oh, how am I going to do it? There's more grace being poured into our tanks. And today I want to preach about that mercy, not because I care about you, but because Faustina said that if I preach about mercy, I'm going to get special graces. No, I'm just kidding. It's because of you, but also because he said, may my priests preach about mercy, and those who preach about mercy, abundant graces will be given unto them. So allow me to just read you these beautiful two or three quotes. In case you might be discouraged, he says the following through Faustina in her diary. I am sending you with my mercy to the people of the whole world. I do not want to punish aching mankind, but I desire to heal it, pressing it to my merciful heart. The Lord sees sin and doesn't say, bad son, bad daughter. He says, there is something we need to heal. Come to me. He identifies sin not with evilness, with evil. He identifies it with there's a wound in you. Somebody must have done something wrong in you. Somebody planted a bad seed. Come to me. I want to take that out. To make known to souls, he says, I have chosen you, Faustina, to make known to souls the great mercy that I have for them and to exhort them to trust in the bottomless depth of my mercy. And the third and last one is my favorite. Let the greatest sinners, he just called us by name, you and me, because you and me, we are the greatest sinners, place their trust in my mercy. They have the right before others to trust in the abyss of my mercy. Abyss, no end. My daughter, write about my mercy towards tormented souls. Souls that make an appeal to my mercy, delight me. Lord, have mercy on me. To such souls, I grant even more graces than they ask. I cannot punish even the greatest sinner if he makes an appeal to my compassion. But on the contrary, I justify him. You know, when when the little kid does something bad and dad is very strong and he comes in and he kind of is trying to figure it out and mom says, nope, he didn't do anything. Because mom doesn't want anything to happen to the little kid. Well, I'm assuming that mom, this is not a very grave thing. Sometimes it's good to get a little spanking from dad. But this is what the Lord wants to do. This is exactly what he wants to do. To justify us, to find a way like he did to the adulterous woman. He didn't really justify her, but he said, you know, nobody stoned you. Okay, nobody condemned you. I don't either. Just go and sin no more. He did, you know, just indicate the right path, the path to light. Now, I want to end with this. What could be a sin against this Sunday, this Divine Mercy Sunday, against what we just read in the gospel, this, you know, I have fear, I have doubts, but I should have peace. It's the sin against the first commandment. So I'm going to throw out three questions that might be a source of prayer for you as we continue with our Mass that would be right up the alley of asking, who am I trusting in? First one, what is the one thing I cannot imagine living without? That's your idol. That's not putting God in the first place. That's going to a different place than the game that he brought us, the proposal. Number two, when life falls apart, where do you instinctively run first? When something becomes tough, the place to solve everything is prayer, not all the other sources out there. And finally, am I seeking God or am I seeking what God can give me in my life? And you know how I can kind of identify that? If I never do worship prayer, and worship I don't mean hands up and hallelujah, no. It's just the times when we pray, when it's not all about asking forgiveness or asking for things or giving thanks, which are beautiful, three beautiful things. It's when I just take a psalm or from the bottom of my heart, I said, Lord, I love you because of who you are. Just because of that. Even if you didn't give me anything, even if you didn't promise me heaven, I would love you anyhow. So, brothers and sisters, as we continue with this Divine Mercy Sunday, let's think about it. How do I medicate myself? What do I go to? And do I seek God because of him or because of what he can give me? And to understand that he also wants to be loved. He has the greatest of all hearts. May Mary give us this grace today to live mercy in receiving it and also in giving it to those people that are a little bit difficult for us. Amen.